وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب, as always for all the beautiful duas you make for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank. آمين. الحمد لله, الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مخلصين له الدين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that our leader and master, Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, today we are going to be bringing you some ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which will have a dynamic impact in our lives. It is like we explained in the previous days, the importance of hadith and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the noble Quran to adhere to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no person's deen can be complete without sticking steadfast to the manner, the ways, and the tariqah, the teachings of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a hadith related by Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. He says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِمْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. It is related by Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he heard the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the actions are judged according to intentions, and to every man is due what he intended. Thus, whosoever migrates for the sake of Allah and his messenger, and there is no other motive for his migration, for his hijrat, except compliance with the commands of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the winning of their good pleasure, his migration is accounted for the sake of Allah and his messenger. And doubtlessly, he is a true muhajir, an emigrant, and shall receive the recompense prescribed for hijrat, migration towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. And whosoever migrates for the sake of this world, or to wed a woman, his migration will not be for Allah and the Prophet, and it will be accounted only for the purpose for which it is intended. So this translation of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is self-explanatory, but there's no need for further, elucidation of the subject idea of the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But its special significance demands that a little bit more light be shed on its meaning. The main purpose of the hadith is to show that the goodness and the badness and acceptability or otherwise of all human actions is dependent on our niyyah, our intentions. In other words, only such a deed will be deemed good and carry merit in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is done with a good and a virtuous intention, and a good deed that is done with an evil or impure intention will not be judged as noble and meritorious. On the contrary, it will be held to be wicked and detestable according to the intention which motivated it, though apparently it may just be good and praiseworthy. So what we see from here, learn from here, Allah sees our intentions along with action and the hidden, and what is hidden along that is manifest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He judges the worth and the value of a deed by the motive with which it is performed. Inna Allah alimum bidhati sudur. Whatever the hearts conceal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. So it should not be imagined that when it is the motive that decides, even the evil deeds that are done with a good motive, a good intention, becomes virtuous and deserving of divine reward. Now, understand this by example. If a person commits theft, which is a bad action, but his intention is very good, the intention is that he will give away to the poor and the needy the goods that he stole. So it will entitle him to recompense from Allah. So the deeds that are wicked in themselves and have been condemned as such by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam will remain bad, unworthy, and it can only invite the divine chastisement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their evilness cannot be taken away by the purity of the intention. So what is more, to perform them with a noble intention and be hopeful of divine reward because of it may well be the cause of additional misfortune and enhancement of punishment, as it will be amount to playing with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the rather saying emphasizes that the good deeds too will cease to be commendable if one performs them with an evil intention, and it will lead to a bitter end owing to the uncleanliness of the motive and the intention. For example, a person offers salah with great humbleness, which by itself is a virtuous act of the highest order, but if his humility is prompted by the desire to impress others so they may think much of his devotedness and hold him in high esteem, then according to the above hadith, it will gain him nothing in the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, if a person migrates from the land of apostasy and kufr to the land of faith and endures all the hardship that goes with it, but his migration is not for seeking the countenance of Allah and there is some worldly motive behind it, like marrying a woman who lives in that country, then his migration will not be an Islamic hijrah, nor will it entitle him to divine recompense. It is related in the hadith, first of all, there are three persons shall be condemned to hell by Allah on the day of judgment. Why? Because the actions of these three people lack sincerity. The first to be called to account will be a person who had been martyred and made shaheed in jihad. When he will be produced, brought in front of Allah, Allah will remind him of his blessings, which he will recall with full recognition. Then Allah will then say to him, "Tell me, how did you give the rights of these blessings?" He will reply, "I waged jihad in your way and even laid down my life in seeking your good pleasure." So Allah will tell him, "You are a liar. You participated in jihad simply because you wanted people to say such a one was a valiant and a brave man. And so it has been said, لِيُقَالَ أَنَّكَ جَرِيرٌ فَقَدْ قِيلَ. It has been said, he will thereupon be thrown headlong into the fire at the command of Allah. In the same way, an alim will be brought before Allah, who has got the whole of the Quran by heart, and Allah will ask him, "What did you do?" So he will submit and he says, "I learned your book, the Quran, and studied your faith myself and taught them to others also, and I did it all for your sake alone." Allah will say, "You are a liar. You did desire only that men should say that such a person was a great scholar and a great reciter of the noble Quran. And that has been said, He will thereupon be cast into hell at the command of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this and grant us ikhlas and sincerity. So after him, one with an abundance of wealth will be produced before Allah. And he will say, did I not give you plenty of wealth? And what did you do with it, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, he'll tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will reply, I left no branch of goodness in which I did not spend for your sake. Allah will tell him, you are a liar. You desire that men should say that such a one was a generous man. And that has been said already. So he also will be thrown into the fire, head foremost, at the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيُقَالْ أَنَّكَ جَوَّادْ فَقَدْ قِيلَ. You have been praised in the world. So what do we learn from this here? It's only such an act will be of help and advantage to us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is performed with a pure intention solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this in Islam is referred to as ikhlas and sincerity. Now in the Quranic verses, well, inshallah, you will come across two categories of men who practice charity and are spoken of. Those who spend their wealth on the weak and the indigent with the object of impressing others and winning their admiration, and others, the other one who does it solely for the sake of Allah. Outwardly, the conduct of both of them is similar. The eye cannot distinguish between the acts of benevolence, but the Quran Majid insists that since their intentions are different, the results will also not be the same. The action of one of them is altogether fruitful, and while that of the other is wholly wasteful and unrewarding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ صَفْوَانٍ عَلَيْهِ تُرَابٌ فَأَصَابَهُ وَابِلٌ فَتَرَكَهُ صَلْدًا لَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Like him who spends his wealth only to be seen by men and does not believe in Allah in the last day. His likeness is like the likeness of a rock whereon some dust of the earth is settled, and then a rainstorm came upon it, leaving it smooth and bare. So they have no control of anything of that which they have gained. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides not the disbelieving folk. Then there's another ayat in Surah Baqarah. وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَتَثْبِيتًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ جَنَّةٍ بِرَبْوَةٍ أَصَابَهَا وَابِلٌ فَآتَتْ أُكُلَهَا ضِعْفَيْنِ. And the likeness of those who spend their wealth in search of Allah's pleasure and for the strengthening of their souls is as the likeness of a garden on a height. The rain storm comes upon it and it brings forth its fruit twofold. So that, although apparently the two groups of men gave away of their wealth to the needy in an identical manner, the motive of the former one was that of ostentation, show, exhibition. So they got nothing from it except praise and laudation, while the latter person had aspired for the good grace of Allah. And his intention was in accordance with this. So this is now the divine law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah's confirmed practice to which the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has drawn our attention to in this hadith that we discussing on ikhlas and sincerity. Inshallah, we'll continue with this tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us make firm, good intentions solely and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.